Glenn, the show's starting when the theme music starts.
Neapolitan.
I thought that was a shot to get in there. Here we are. It's a Wednesday, June the 17th, 2020, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to On the Air here on WWGH Radio. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, solving all the problems in the world in 2 hours, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Also, don't forget, Progressive Life with Glenn Coble's on after this show today, 12 to 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. today, and that's all followed by the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon tonight from 6:10 to 7 p.m. on this station. Don't miss it for love nor money. Also, don't forget the Charlie Evers Show repeats now every day, 7:10 a.m., 1:10 p.m., 7:10 p.m. Also, the Exchange Club will repeat today from last Friday at 2:10 p.m. And the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker from yesterday will repeat at 3:10 p.m. So it's a day of scheduled programming here on WWGH Radio. Glenn, we've got so much to talk about in the next 2 hours.
Well, the first thing we have to talk about is getting a little red light that plops on when we go on the air.
Well, see, anytime the music has started,
yeah,
you've got to be prepared.
But that's a two-minute music thing.
Yeah, but I was ready to go, Glenn.
I was
ready to go, and you wanted to talk about ice cream.
And you know my mouth. Occasionally, I won't say Neapolitan.
So we need some kind of hand signal.
Yeah, okay.
From now on, I'll do this. I'll hold my hands up like, you know, a traffic cop.
Once you turn up the mics. Yeah,
once okay. I turn up the mics. Okay. We're going to kick it off. We're going to get into this right away because there's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. We're going to save the... They're not really even political, to be honest. They're more of sociological discussion for next hour. But this morning, I did the first hour on an interesting show I watched last night. And I'm going to try to tin-type this for people who don't want to hear the whole explanation again.
Tin-type it. I didn't know you were that old.
A little. I'm going to tin-type this thing. Basically, what the sociological experiment was that they took a girl, her name was Katie, who was kind of looked down on in her social circles because she didn't have a lot of money. She didn't have a lot of education. She just wasn't thought of as being maybe upper echelon in the community. Now, when they approached Katie about this and said, "Does that bother you?" Of course, she says what everybody says. "No, that doesn't bother me." Okay, whatever.
Sure.
So then they went to her and they said, "Let's fix you." And what they did was they gave her money. They started her in college, and she was doing very well. They introduced her to some upper echelon people in the community, and she was kind of traveling in those circles. And can you guess what they found? Now, I can get a guess from you earlier on where I couldn't get one from the audience, but yeah. I think this is fascinating.
Oh, she found that she didn't like those people.
No, she was fine.
Oh, she was.
She was fine, sure.
I would have not liked those people.
She liked college.
Uh-huh.
She was certainly okay with having the money.
Yeah. Well, I can see her like
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. I think she liked all the aspects of it.
Even having to deal with the people that...
I'm not talking about, like, snooty people. I'm just talking about not low level.
Okay.
You
like,
know,
like you and me.
Yeah, we're in the middle category.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not... Like, she hung around with people who... you know, their goals in life were not there.
I got you.
They didn't have... Okay,
I got you.
Yeah. So... What do you think? Okay, so now that you know that she liked all of the perks that should bring her up to the level of everybody in society, what do you think they found?
Now, your question is, what didn't she like about it?
No, I'm saying, what do you think the researchers found who were looking at this? Because they gave her every opportunity that was keeping her back, that she thought was keeping her back, that society thought was keeping her back.
Boy, that's a good question.
It is. It was fascinating.
I wish I had watched the show. Did she find that she really didn't have the motivation to move forward in her sociological...
She did. Matter of fact, she was doing great in college.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You know what they found?
What?
People still look down on her.
Well, how did they know?
Well, because it was her social circle that never changed.
Oh, yeah, sure.
She couldn't... She still was... more comfortable being around the less motivated, the less enthusiastic. Moral is not the right word, but her compass, what's the word I'm thinking of?
I have no idea.
Like Jiminy Cricket was Pinocchio's conscience.
Oh, okay.
Her conscience, her rubric, like the way she spoke.
I don't know what
she,
rubric
she used
means.
A lot of...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is why I hang around with the upper echelon people. This is exactly what goes on.
And not me.
We say rubric all the time. This is what goes on at those picnics, Glenn.
Okay. You got to invite me to some of these things.
Oh, my gosh. Well, dream on. You got to know rubric first. But, no, it was that basically she kind of had a foul mouth, and that never changed.
Mm-hmm. No, it wouldn't.
That money and success career-wise did not change who she was. And that's what people were really looking down on.
Hmm.
People were looking down on her. It wasn't the superficiality. So, and then the tie-up to this whole thing was that people who are dirt poor, people who don't go to college, but yet have some kind of a moral compass, have some kind of a conscience, people don't look down on.
That's interesting.
It's not the...
Was she a good girl other than her conscience just wasn't pointed that direction?
Good girl, like in the sense of...
Well, she didn't get in trouble. She didn't get arrested.
She wasn't. No, not in trouble. But as far as what people would look down on as being morally right and morally wrong, I think there were some picadillos there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I think I understand that. I'm looking at this from a person who grew up as a minister's kid. We didn't have much money. My grandfather had a lot of money, but that didn't come down to my father. And we were looked up to, though, because
exactly.
Dad was a minister.
That's right.
And he was always with very intelligent people. Dad's degree, one of his degrees is from Harvard, so he's a pretty smart guy. Naturally, I couldn't make that level. But that's kind of interesting to look at it that way because, and my mother, oh boy, is that Freudian. My wife's father was the town physician. So, but I didn't ever have much motivation. So,
well, you know what it made me think about? It's that I think certain people are desperate to be accepted and certain people are not. And I think it's kind of like money, which we were talking about before we went on the air. People who make decisions based in money never have any. People who don't...
Unless they absolutely have to have... I mean, there are people that live their life for money and find a way to make it.
But a lot of people lose it, too.
Yeah.
They usually lose it and spend it.
Yeah.
It's like people who don't know how to budget. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to budget with $50, you're not going to know how to budget with $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Same
mm-hmm.
problems.
And a lot of people just steal money, so...
There you go. But it made me think about acceptance, because acceptance and money. If you want to be accepted, you're not, because you put off that feeling that you become a little phony with people, and they can see that.
You're making me think too much this way.
No, isn't this fascinating?
Yeah,
Glenn,
it is fascinating.
And people, and I think that is such is life. And I think that...
Did she try to change? Did they show...
These were the tools she wanted. You know, I need an education. I didn't get one when I was younger. I need money. I'm always running behind on my bills. I need to be with better people. You know, they will rub off on me. Didn't work.
It didn't rub.
Didn't rub. Because they always fell back into their same... What people want... So you got to figure out what your wants are in life. What are your goals? Are your goals to be successful? Are your goals to be happy? Because your goal should be to be happy.
I think you put that on your Facebook yesterday.
Did I?
Your wants are different than your needs.
Your wants are different than your needs.
That's
But even in a bad way. Now, like here was what I was thinking about when I wrote that, is that, okay, a drug dealer, or a druggie,
mm-hmm.
They have no money.
Yeah.
They will do whatever. They will knock you out in the alley to get what they need.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
But that's a need.
Yeah.
I want to be successful. Now, see, that's kind of namby-pamby.
Yeah, but there are some people that need to be successful.
Good.
And others that just want to be successful.
That's you need. You need to be.
Yeah.
You need to see it as a need. You can't see, anything you see as a want. You can fail at.
Okay, then you have to define successful. That's a tough
one. They have to do that.
Yeah, well, that's right.
I can't define their success.
That was a rhetorical
euphemism?
No, it was a rhetorical you.
No, but isn't I really feel bad for people who think that these little things are going to fill that hole, which is the conversation I had with the caller this morning. Hope she's still listening out there. Was that it's a hole that you never fill. You think you're going to fill it with these things, but you don't.
Yeah, because probably they didn't really know what they really wanted. And maybe they didn't really want what they really needed to want.
There you go. They did not know what they really needed. But the fascinating thing was what they found, because also they set her, I want to say it was a date, but it didn't seem like a date. They set her up because they were introducing her to the upper echelon people, or the normal people. I think more middle people. Mm-hmm. And she really liked that person because totally different than the people that she hung around with. Hmm. So she became very attached to that particular person. They weren't so attached to her.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, my dad used to tell me, told me when I flunked out of college, probably the third time, dad told me, I said, Dad, I'm so sorry. And back then, college cost about $5,000 a year. I said, Dad, I'm so sorry that I did this. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. I just spent $5,000 last year to get you socialized. And that is highly important. I believe that my socialization is more important than whether I did graduate, but I think my socialization was a lot more important. And she was missing the upward socialization.
I don't think I ever got it.
Yeah.
Ever got it. She was always... And you know what I think that is, and we're going to break here in under a minute. What I think it really is comfortability. I don't think you're ever comfortable with the people because you see them as being better than you. So you're not comfortable.
Yeah.
But yet you're comfortable with the losers. Isn't that nice?
That's
just
weird.
Put it right there the way it needs to be put. And we'll be back with these two losers and a whole lot of other losers, hopefully out there in the listening area, after this very short but important break here on WWGH Radio. We still got 10 seconds, but that's what it is. I really think it's she was comfortable with the losers, so stay with the losers.
Yeah, what the heck?
Why not? Enjoy your losers. We'll be back right after this. Holy moly. Charlie. Rumor has it, 1 year Buckeye Chuck died the morning of Groundhog Day and you passed off a stuffed groundhog to the audience.
Well, yes, that did happen.
Did the crowd notice?
Well, not really. I just told the crowd he was scared to death of the audience, and they didn't know how true that was.
Honesty is always the best policy. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back, Glenn Coble, Scott Spears, today talking sociology. And you know, it's a broad topic, and I think it's fascinating. By the way, if you have an opinion you want to share, call in.
Please.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I found it interesting, though, that she became attached to that. Her name was Katie. His name was... It was a real common name.
John.
I was going to say John, but I don't think it's John. Like Jonathan or... what was this? I don't think it matters at this point.
Rumpelstiltskin.
You know, it was that type of thing, but it was... he liked her. I mean, she was likable enough, but he did not have the feeling for her that she had for him. And I'm not saying that it was a romantic thing either way. I think it was just this was so different to her. Mm. But he...
Well, that throws the question up to me. I'm going to ask you. Do you think people need that type of relationship for a romantic relationship? It sounds to me like this show kind of says... you have to have it for any relationship, but
need to have what relationship?
You need to have a similar. What did you call it earlier? You need to have a similar morality to fall in love with somebody, which I find is a euphemism for something
else.
Do
you need to have a similar morality? No, I think it says exactly the opposite.
Oh, you do?
I do, because I think you're prone to fall into those similar
issues. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And that doesn't work, because what you're... See, it's kind of like self-hate. Have you ever heard of the self-fulfilling prophecy?
Sure.
I think that's what it is. What you dislike about yourself is what you're attracted to in other people. Mm. So in the beginning, that's fine, because that's the honeymoon stage. That's the rose-colored glasses. But once that wears off, the things you end up deploring in them are the things you deplore about yourself. But if you have somebody who is not... You don't have that feeling toward. Usually it's because they possess different qualities than you have. So you don't even understand why they operate the way they do.
Well, I was told when I was a young man, my mother said, you should spend your life in self-evaluation.
You got it.
Not self-criticism, but self-evaluation. You should find out why you do things, and you should find out what you like, and you should go for those. And I think this young lady needed to find out what she really was, and she obviously didn't know.
Well, that's what my answer to all this morning was. My revelation this morning was, I like to be around people who are different. I don't like to be around people who are the same as me, because I'm fascinated how they got to be.
Nobody likes to be around people like you.
Oh, Glenn, I would say different. I don't know. There's a lot of people.
My goodness,
man, we could fill the palace with the people who want to spend time around me. But, it's an interesting thing, because...
4,000 people.
1,400 people.
1,400
people. But I just think that it's...
I threw you off, didn't I? I'm sorry.
No, I'm just trying to think of a nice way to put it. A lot of people gravitate towards similar. You know, similar politically, similar philosophically, similar career-wise. I don't like that. I want to be around people who are different, have a totally different upbringing, have a totally different philosophy, because I'm interested to see how they got to where they are.
To support what you just said, my wife and I did the statistical analysis for 2008 and 2012 for Obama's campaign here in Marion. What we did is we just inputted all the answers that we got off of questionnaires from people that were going around knocking on doors. It was absolutely amazing how many husbands and wives were identical.
Of course. And that's the problem.
Yeah, and it was kind of scary. My wife and I are not identical, but we're both on the left side of the aisle, but my wife is a communist. I tell everybody she's a communist. She's way far left, whereas I am not nearly that far left. As a matter of fact, I was a Republican most of my life, or the first half of my life. And we found out. I mean, they would give the identical answers to questions that really had nothing to do with politics. They were just the same.
And that is the problem.
Well, you used to watch The Dating Game, didn't you?
I remember it.
That was quite an interesting game, and I think they must have pulled people that had differences intentionally, because they were always...
Isn't it much more fascinating, though, to be with people who are different? I think so.
Yeah,
I think it's so much more fascinating. And you know what I have seen so often? And I hate to say this, but this just blows my mind in a lot of ways. A lot of times there'll be a marriage or a relationship or something like that, and somebody will cheat on the other person. Okay, and of course that brings an end to the relationship. But it does.
Okay.
In a lot of cases.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Then, once that's over, before the final paperwork has been, the other person is cheating. Now, maybe you're not living together anymore. Maybe the relationship is over for the most part. But clearly, you had a similar trait to that person.
Or that the person that you cheated on is just getting back at you.
Well, Either way.
Yeah. Wait, and I want to tell my wife when I said that quickly, I had nothing to do with you and me, honey.
Yeah. Well, no. It's just, I think that that's fascinating to me because, okay, it could be spite. I would not deny it. But
oh, I
also.
It's a huge part spite.
But, I've known people who it's not spite. It's just, I know that's over. And I need to move on myself.
Well,
and
once you're
blah,
out
blah,
of
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, once you're out of the situation, I think I would too. I quite often have told my family that I didn't think marriage was the perfect way to get along in life because you do run into things like that. But the nice thing about a good marriage is you figure out how to get by the throwing of the lampshade at somebody, and the next day everything's back to normal.
But how many lampshades can you throw before you can't go back to normal the next day?
Well, I haven't. I would venture to say my wife and I have a fight where she gets to the edge of tears maybe once every 3 months. And it's always
so for a year.
Yeah, it's always her getting mad at me. I'm perfect, but she doesn't know it yet.
So you're the disengaged one.
Not disengaged. I just refuse to engage. Yeah.
Now, see, I'm totally disengaged with people.
Yes, you are.
It's a thing.
That's why I love you, my friend.
Yeah. I'm totally disengaged. You would not ever be able to get me in an argument, ever.
No, and I've tried.
Yeah, and it doesn't work because
you're
to
right.
me, even because I try to understand why the other people are angry. So that runs through my mind first of all, and I think what is an argument going to solve?
Have you ever noticed that I got angry at you?
No, did you?
No.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think we work the same way. We find a way to get past that initial, he's an idiot,
yeah,
and
yeah.
go right to, okay, he's my friend.
Well, like the 12 o'clock show on Friday, which has been on 11 years now, Exchange Club, you know, politically, that has become a very argumentative show.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, it's a show. And a lot of people would always come up to me, well, you know this, because there was a panelist on one time who used to get questioned a lot about did she like the other
and
person.
And she's a great friend of mine, so yes.
Okay, but the truth is, it's never been like that. It's the show. We argue on the air,
yeah.
And as soon as the mics went down,
yeah.
we're talking about what are you going to do this weekend.
Yeah.
It didn't translate like that. It's a show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's phony. It's not phony because people do feel that way, but it's not. Nobody hates anybody.
That person you're talking about has very deep feelings about some of the things.
Saw her in
about.
The grocery store this uh-huh. past weekend.
Yeah.
We don't talk when we see each other.
You're kidding.
No, we said hello.
I can't imagine that. She's such a sweet person. I can't imagine.
You know why?
Maybe she just ignored you. I mean, didn't ignore you.
No, I didn't recognize her because she had a mask on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, and she said hello to me, and I said hello back.
Yeah.
But, you know, we never did have a endlessly
warm relationship.
Well, she wasn't warm with anybody. I mean, I hate to say that, but that whole group at that time, she was not.
Let's see, who was that? You, Charlie?
Me
and
Charlie, and then we had a rotator. Marge was here a good portion of that, and
well, she would have opposite feelings about things that Charlie had. So,
well, that was one of the big issues.
Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah, I remember there was some big dust ups there that
made the show good.
They weren't dust ups with me.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, there were dust ups there. I remember that very well.
Oh my!
Yeah,
I love talking about this. This is good. Good. Discussion. Now, if we're putting all of you to sleep, go ahead and call us and tell us.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your opinion.
Yeah.
740-383-9944. But I just, you know, I can tell people things. Now, I'm not being disingenuous when I tell people good things about themselves. I mean that. I'm totally 100% behind that. But I think sometimes it comes off a little more than I mean it. Because people don't say nice things to people, so they're not used to it.
In reading your Facebook quotes, now you're going to hate me after this.
Go ahead.
You tend to be a little Pollyannish on.
Oh no, I'm Pollyannish in life in general.
That's what I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think people don't believe people. I am a very positive person usually, and even I don't believe you sometimes. But
No.
I think there are people that don't believe anybody that has a positive outlook.
I am a very optimistic person.
Yes, you are.
I think tomorrow is going to be better than today, and if today, if today was not great, tomorrow will be up. Nothing gets me down.
Have you never been down?
No.
Okay.
No, and that's strange, but it's even when bad things were happening, and I knew they were bad things, my philosophy immediately, you know, that quick, is how do we fix this? How do we fix this? It's going to get better. Let's move toward the right way.
I'm going to go a little bit really somber here and say even death of family members?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I say, well, there's one less Christmas gift I have to buy.
You know, I never cried at my mother or father passing. I guess it's because I thought when my dad passed, it was a long time ago, and he was in his 60s, so I thought it was time. Not that I wanted him to go, but I just thought, okay, I understand that. The only time I ever cried at a funeral was my sister's funeral, and I thought she went a little early, but actually, she was about my age. So and now,
I've always thought that death is a proper ending to life.
It's the only ending to life.
But I think it's proper. I think that this is, you know, it's the end to a hopefully a good experience.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about it last night. As everybody knows, I planned my shows with my puppy dog Cheyenne. And I thought Cheyenne's almost 16, if she isn't 16. And I thought last night was going to be our last night together. She was acting odd. And so that one would have broken my heart terribly. But she's fine this morning, so I don't know where I was going with that. Never mind.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story is I had a very close family member die in front of me. It was on a trip, and it was election week, 2016, and they died overnight Sunday into Monday, so early Monday morning. Now, election coverage had to be on Tuesday night on the station, and Monday, or Tuesday night, this person died Monday. I came in Tuesday night and did election coverage, and nobody knew anything had happened because the obituary had not run yet. I totally was able to compartmentalize it, and we're going to compartmentalize this break and come back and talk more. Stay tuned.
From NBC News, this is Today with Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira.
Wow, that was a special morning doing the opening for the Today Show in 2011.
Yes, but you know what? There was a downside.
What was that?
Having to share a dressing room with Willard Scott. Smucker jars everywhere.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
And we're back, but talking...
You didn't raise your hands. I was going to say a dirty
word.
Well,
on those minute breaks, I think you would know. But, I remember that election night of 2016 coming in, and I remember it was a horribly rainy night. I do remember that. It rained, like... And I remember driving from my house over to the station, which was at the mall at the time. And I remember thinking... It was pouring rain, and I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be an awful week because here comes the funeral and so on and so forth. But when I walked in that night, it went away. It went away because nobody knew, and we had fun. We laughed. I don't have it.
Kind of like Charlie. When Charlie was not feeling so well towards the end of his broadcasts here, he'd come in, and he and I'd sit down and talk, and he'd say, I'm feeling really bad. And Charlie, why don't you go home? No, I'll get through today. Walk in here, turn the mic on, and he was a completely different person.
Well, you know, and
he was happy and strong, and there you go.
I've started to think over time that no matter what you do in broadcasting, or where you do it. If it's New York City or California or Chicago or Marion, Ohio or Lincoln, Nebraska, it's a privilege to have somebody's ear.
Yeah.
And it's a privilege to be on the air. And the creativity and the fun that it affords you, and you realize it's not forever. It's not forever for anybody. You know, you really got to you gotta take that as a real privilege.
I'd like to get in the wave back machine and go forward and meet you when you're 70 years old.
I'll still be here.
Well, I think you'll still be here, but I'm trying to figure out what type of person you're going to, when you grow up, I wonder what you're going to be like.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, people always said, well, I was the type of person who was very apoplectic about, you know, when I was, because adults love to say things like, well, you don't know. You don't know how it's all going to turn out. You don't know what you're going to be like when you're 25.
Well, what I was saying.
Yeah. So I was the type of person was like, no, these are my values. These are my, like getting married, honestly, was one of those things. I have said since I was 18 years old that I thought marriage was flawed. And this is nothing new. And I didn't get married. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I've said the same thing about having kids. I said, I don't think that's for me. I think I would be a horribly compulsive parent. So I never changed.
I think you'd be a good dad.
So at seven, well, we'll see.
I don't think we need to try it.
We don't need to work it out. But no, so I think 30 years from now, I think I'll be the same.
Yeah, I thought I would be too. I am completely different than I was when I was your age.
I don't know what events would happen between now and then that would, because most of my traumas have pretty well happened. I don't know what trauma would happen that would be so life-changing.
It wasn't traumas that changed me, though. What changed me is, I hate to say this, it sounds terribly self-serving, but wisdom. I think you learn things that you don't know when you're in your 30s.
I think some people, because, you know, somebody just somebody just did a thing on being older doesn't make you this idea that being older makes you right and wise.
Oh, absolutely not.
And yeah, and I think that's probably true. Now, some people it does, but not all.
I think, you have a chance to get smarter with age, and a lot of people miss the chance.
But I also think some people start working at it early. You know, some people in their 20s, they don't pay attention.
I'm stunned when I watch TV as you know, I watch a lot of political stuff. There are kids that come on that look like they could be my 15-year-old granddaughter that are so mature. And there were, you know, most of them are 25, but still I'm amazed at how intelligent and how mature a lot of those people can be. Now they may grow up later and say, ooh, I was really wrong on that, but I don't know.
Oh, I think your opinions can change, but I don't know if, again, I think it comes back to the sociological experiment we talked about earlier. I don't think you change as a person. I really don't.
Yeah, I think deep-seated values stay with you.
I think you're...
I'm glad I was a minister's kid because those values, even though I am no longer a religious person, those values stayed with me.
And I feel bad for people in a way because I know they're never going to be able to change because that's a very hard thing to do. It's a very... You can change habits.
Yeah.
But those things that are ingrained in you... They're very hard to change because you're comfortable with them.
Yeah.
It's like your security blanket. That's why it's hard to take a blanket away from a child.
That's why I personally believe that racism continues on fairly strongly because a kid isn't born as a racist. A kid doesn't know what color you are when he comes out of the womb. He just, are you going to give him food or not? You know. And I think it's that type of thing is your upbringing, the way you were brought up, and I absolutely credit my going to high school with 35% African American and going to grade school with a lot of African Americans, and my father being a Methodist minister and going to a lot of dad's church. Dad was district superintendent of the Methodist church in South Bend for a while, and a lot of the churches we went to were African American. This was back in the 50s, I guess. And the music, I just absolutely loved the music, and I loved the people, and they were wonderful.
And then somebody told me they were black, and I didn't know what the heck that meant.
Well, it's right. I mean, it's tabula rasa when you're born.
Yeah.
You're a blank slate.
Yep.
So you learn these things.
Ooh, I like that word. What is it?
Tabula rasa.
Oh, I'm going to have to remember
that's
that.
That's the Latin term.
I'm
going to
write that
blank,
one down.
The blank foot. But it's one of those things that, you know, people don't even realize they're ingrained that way.
No. And you shouldn't think a person, let's say a person that you know is racist, don't blame them.
But you know, I think race is a big one, though. But I think people don't realize that the choices they make in life in general, how they parent their kids, how they, when they have their kids,
what they eat when they get older,
how they manage their time, how they spend their money, the people they end up marrying, the people they date, the things they allow to go on in their life. I don't think they realize that you come out a blank slate. That was ingrained upon you at some point in your life. Now, does it make you wrong? No, because I'm not sure these are right and wrong things.
And you can't choose your parents.
And you can't choose your parents. And I think it's just the way it goes, but I often think, wow, you know, it's a shame. Because I don't know. You know, it's like it's like alcohol in a way. People who...
Careful what you say about alcohol. I'm very friendly with alcohol.
You're friendly with the alcohol? People who drink to be able to get into a good mood or to be able to calm down or to be able to balance themselves, that's probably something that psychologically is not working with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're doing it.
Well, I used to drink to... relax. I used
self-medicate,
to,
they call
yes,
that.
Yes, I used to do that. My brother was a member of AA. My sister drank too much wine, but neither one of my parents drank at all. Well, it's kind of weird.
And I'm not downing drinking because I'm not, what do they call that?
A teetotaler.
I drank. I mean, I drank the other night. I had several drinks. But it's not to unwind. It's not to temper. It's because it was there, and somebody offered it to me, and it sounded good. That was it.
I find I like to drink to socialize. I feel more comfortable talking. I know this sounds crazy being on the radio right now, but I find it easier to talk to people when I've had a couple of beers.
Well, but the radio is a control thing. I found that. You know, I don't really want to be, you know, most people in radio are not big, I don't want to say they're not party people, but they don't need attention.
I think that's probably true in a lot of cases, but I know some people that got into radio so that they could get attention.
Well, I think that's ego.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, when people send me a nice letter or I like the show, I mean, I appreciate it that they say it. It lets you know that they're listening. It lets you know you're doing something right.
Sometimes it's embarrassing.
Right. But but to me, it's more I think good. The content's good. Mm-hmm. I don't ever think, boy, aren't I the greatest?
Yeah. Well, then you got to quit telling me that.
I know. Well, I've made the shirts up for everybody to wear around here. So
Scott is the greatest.
Scott is the greatest. That's all you need to know at this particular point. But as we wound down 5 minutes, because next hour we're going to get into some of the mores that are going on in society right now.
Sure.
What do you make of this whole thing? What have we learned in life, sociologically, about people who maybe feel downtrodden, have a hole to fill, have an emptiness at their core, can't feel things?
I'm a personal believer that you have to love everybody, and I hate the term love. As I've said on my radio show, I would prefer to have seven different versions of love like the Greeks do, but I prefer to love everybody right out of the box and find reasons not to like them rather than find reasons to like them.
Well, my revelation at the end of the show today was I don't love anybody, I don't think.
Yeah, I've often said that to my wife, which really made her
angry.
I bet
that was a good
one. Yeah, that was really
good. That was one of those three-month arguments.
You know, honey, I don't love anybody. Oh, except you. Yeah. But, you know, that's not true. I love my children beyond my own life. So,
well, but again,
and my wife.
I think, again, we got it. There are certain people who you're bound to love. Because kids certainly would be one. But I'm talking about the love that you have to acquire.
I don't feel I'm bound to love my kids.
I think a lot of people do. I think people, if you would walk into it and say, I just hate my kids, that's not going to go over very well.
There are times I hate my kids. But
times?
Back in the day. But anymore, it's completely different. I don't know. I that's one of those things that as I've gotten older, I found a deeper love for my children than I had when I was young.
I just think that it's very, you know, kind of out there. You know, what do I love about you? You know, because sometimes you tick me off, and sometimes I think you're a total mess. So, what am I loving? I mean, really, I might love the moment. I might love that you're being very cool right now. But really, do I really overall, I probably like you. I probably think you're an okay person. But if you ask me in one of the moments where you're being a total difficult person, I probably don't.
Well, I have three children. And I'm not going to say which one. She might be listening. But one of them does some things that I think is out there. But when I see her, all I can think of is how much I want to hug her and protect her.
Well, I think kids are the exception to the rule.
Yeah, might be.
I think kids, much like parents, well, it's parents loving kids. I think it's very hard. I think even if your kid murders somebody, it's very hard to write them off.
Well, you watch the nature shows, and mama bears love their baby bears. The problem is there are some daddy bears that will eat their baby bears. I don't know why men, males, tend not to like their children as much as females, but I have gotten to the point where I like my children at least as much as my wife likes them, and my wife loves my children.
But you know what? I will say this. There are some people who I like to be around because the room becomes better when they're in it. You know, they're just fun, and I like that.
That's kind of the way I used to feel about Mary Meyer. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my girlfriend before Coco, who was my girlfriend before Carol. And Mary Meyer, when I'd walk into the room and she was there, it made the room all nice and warm and wonderful. And well, it had nothing to do with sex.
And I'm not saying it's necessarily. I'm just saying that it's about. I can't wait to be around that person because we're going to have fun. It's going to be fun no matter what we do. You know, it could be something major like taking a trip, but it also could be something very minor like going to a restaurant. It's going to be fun.
My love for my kids and my love for my old girlfriends was different than fun. I don't know what it was.
Well, I tell you what, maybe we'll find out on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about some mores as well that are going on in society right now, changes that maybe want to take place, are going to take place, and might take place. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Room here. If you want to join in at any time on any current event, any memory, anything you want to throw on the table, do it right now. 740-383-9944.
World famous from St. Martin.
Is that called sangria?
Huh?
Not
sangria is in Italy. The guava berry